Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. And I want to thank Jonah Rosenblatt for sponsoring this night's shiur and all of the extra delicacies. Lili Nishmas, his father. Jonah, what's the name again?
Chaim Reuven
Ben Shmuel. So Neshama should have Naliyah. Please make brachos and l'chaims, Lili Nishmaso and Jonah. You should continue to bring lots of nachas. Okay, we have three fantastic ideas now. Good. Thank you. We have three fantastic ideas in 30 minutes, and you'll see from at least one of the ideas, perhaps even two of them, really two of them, what's been on my mind these last few weeks, and you'll get that joke in a little bit. Okay. Obviously, this week's parsha is Parshas Pekudei, which is the culmination of the building of the Mishkan. If you remember all the way back a few weeks ago in Vayakel, Truma, so I quote an idea from Rav Steinzel, that this isn't just repetitive and monotonous, but we're building a Mishkan here. Remember, he gave the analogy of that the same way when SpaceX builds their shuttles, so every little screw matters and every little part of the building process is exciting because you're sending something into space. So what we've been doing over the last 5 weeks is building a spiritual space shuttle that's going to elevate us into space. And the parsha this week is going to culminate with liftoff, essentially, right? When we get to the end, and the Shekhinah is going to dwell in the Mishkan, so it's an exciting moment. But we know that the beginning of Parshas Pekudei really starts with the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was essentially challenged, or he felt challenged, that everyone was questioning his accounting. Was he honest and authentic about how he was calculating all of the needs of the Mishkan? And so Moshe, Eilu Pekudei HaMishkan, Moshe comes along and he says, I'm going to go through everything. I'm going to give a complete accounting of all the money that was raised and all of the allocations. So I want to share with you a very beautiful idea from the Beis HaLevi. This Beis HaLevi, you'll see, is from Parshas Truma, but it very much applies to our Parsha as well, and you'll see why it's on my mind. The Beis HaLevi in Parshas Truma asks the following question. Why is it that Parshas Truma comes right after Parshas Mishpatim? Parshas Mishpatim did not have to go right before Parshas Truma. Parshas Mishpatim deals with what type of halachas, if you have to characterize them? Interpersonal relationships, right? How I interact with you in business. What happens when a business deal goes sour? What happens? Almost all the halachas above a comma emanate from Parshas Mishpatim. Why is it that Parshas Truma comes right afterwards? Says the Beis HaLevi the following. Hinei ba Parshas o achrei Parshas Mishpatim. Debetchila kodem shiyasa adam tzedaka b'mamono. If you think about it, the building of the Mishkan was the greatest fundraising effort in the history of the Jewish people. Says the Beis HaLevi, before you start the charity campaign, before you start the fundraising, before you start collecting tzedakah, tzarech liro shelo yeh b'mamona chashash gezel. You have to make sure that your money that you're collecting is glah kosher. You have to make sure that it's collected in an erlich way. Deem lo kein, ein tzedakah mo'elas lo klal. Because if you don't make sure that the tzedakah was collected properly, if you don't make sure that the money was collected properly, then it's not going to serve the purpose for which you are collecting it. And therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, that's why it first starts off with Parshas Mishpatim. First, we have to learn how we engage in business and how we conduct ourselves in dine mamonos and monetary manners. And only once we look inside our checkbooks and only once we look inside our bank accounts and we come to the conclusion that everything that we're doing is kadasu kadin, that everything that we're doing is up and up, that we haven't stolen, that we haven't misallocated any money in our own personal lives, then we can come to build the Mishkan. Because the only way a building campaign is going to be successful is if it's predicated on menschlichkeit, if it's predicated on doing things in a yasher kind of way. And the reason why I love this idea, and aside from because my head is in a building campaign kind of mood, but the reason why I love this idea is I think it highlights a fundamental aspect of what the Torah represents. You know, we know that in the Luchos, there are two sets of the Luchos. There are two sides to the Luchos. There's the Ben Adam L'Chaveru side and the Ben Adam L'Makom side. We oftentimes focus on the Ben Adam L'Makom. If I would ask you, what's the Mishkan about? You would tell me the Mishkan was a conduit for us to be able to relate to Hashem. It's a Ben Adam L'Makom type of Mishkan. Comes along the Beis HaLevi, comes along the Torah and says, if you want to connect to Hashem, it starts by thinking about the way you interact with each other. The only way to have a meaningful relationship with Hashem, the only way to have Kedusha with Hashem is if it's predicated on treating each other with respect and dignity and kindness and not stealing from one another and conducting business in an ethical and moral way. Only when we behave with each other that way, then we can build a Mishkan in order to welcome in the Shechina. Judaism, you can't have one without the other. You can't have a Mishkan without having a Parshas Mishpatim beforehand. You can't have Ashras HaShechina, you can't have Hashem dwell amongst a community if you don't first calculate and consider how people are interacting with each other. And if there's unethical behavior, and if there's immoral behavior, and if people are cutting corners, and if people are mistreating each other in business deals, then it doesn't matter how much tzedakah is going to be collected. You know what's not going to be there? The Shechina. Because the Shechina is predicated upon us treating each other with respect. It's why, when we start mistreating each other, what happens to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the next extension of the Mishkan, what happens to it? It can no longer exist. Because the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, it's not just Dalid, it's not just four walls. It's not just a building that you create and all of a sudden, abracadabra, Kalamazoo, Hashem comes in and he creates Shechina. The building of the Mishkan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash works only when we start treating each other with respect. And so therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, first you have Parshas Mishpatim, first we have to learn how to conduct business, we have to learn how to treat each other with respect, we have to be concerned that in business dealings we're doing it ethically and morally, and only then, once we've gotten our own house in order, then we can go and build the house for Hashem. I'll share with you an unbelievable idea from the Rav Schwab, Meim Beis HaShoeva. He says this on Parshas Kisisa. He says, if you look in the way, it introduces us to the shekel. What word does it use? It doesn't just say shekel. It says shekel ha? Kodesh. Isn't that strange? Right? I don't carry wallets. You could ask Rabbi Goldberg about that another time. He thinks I don't carry wallets, that he pays every time. I just happen to not carry wallets. So, right? But let's say I were to take out a $100 bill. And I would give you a $100 bill. I wouldn't call it the $100 bill HaKodesh. Why is it that specifically when the Torah refers to the shekel, it refers to it as the holy shekel, the shekel HaKodesh? Says Rav Schwab in his main Beis HaShoeva on Parshas Kisisa, it's because for the only way for the shekel to work, the shekel was what was collected to be able to service the Beis HaMikdash. The only way it works, says Rav Schwab, is not just if it's the $100 bill, but it's the $100 bill that's also Kodesh. It's the $100 bill that was earned the right way. It was a $100 bill that wasn't earned by cheating someone else or by messing someone over on a business deal or by stealing for another person or cutting corners on a business. No. It's got to be Shekel HaKodesh. It's got to be in the most, how would you translate that? It's got to be, I'm trying to think of a word. Menschlich, Ehrlicha, honest, with integrity. That's how it's got to be. And if it's a Shekel HaKodesh, then you're able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And so I think it's a very powerful idea from the Beis HaLevi. It's a reminder to us that two sides of the Luchos go hand in hand. You can't have the main Adam LaMakom side without also having the main Adam LaChavero side. You can't create a house for Hashem unless you're also making sure that we're treating each other with respect. And that's why, how does the story of the Mishkan start and how does it end? With an accounting. According to the Beis HaLevi's logic, it starts coming right after Mishpatim, because first we have to think about how we treat with each other. And then it ends with Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. How does Moshe Rabbeinu end it? With, again, an accounting, making sure that every dollar was allocated properly, that nothing was stolen or nothing was skimmed off the top, that everything was done with integrity and honesty. Then, and only then, when it starts with the integrity and ends with integrity, then it can be a place for Hashem. And so it starts with Mishpatim, it ends with Eile Pekudei, and when you have an infrastructure that's built in that way, then you could have Hashras HaShechina. So I think it's a very powerful reminder to us, because sometimes we lose sight of this. Sometimes we get so consumed and so focused on our Bein Adon L'Makom, that if I dive in a certain way, I learn a certain way, then I'm not as obligated in Bein Adon L'Chavero, then it's not as important in how I treat people. No. Judaism comes along and says that's not the case. You can, it's in fact the opposite. You can only have the relationship with Hashem if you first start treating people with respect. And if you start treating people with honesty and integrity. And if you don't, then the Mishkan's gone, the Beis HaMikdash is gone. That's why, by the way, when it comes to the Geula, it says, Tzion b'mishpati padeh. Tzion is going to be redeemed, not through, I'm not minimizing any of this, but not through the longer Shmon Esrei, not through, right, Tzion b'mishpat. B'mishpat means when you act with integrity, when you treat people with respect, when you conduct yourself with honesty. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. It's only when we treat, by the way, that's also, again, I can go on and develop this idea. The Beis HaLevi doesn't say all this. What's that in the epicenter of the Beis HaMikdash? Other than the Kodesh Kodashim, right next to the Kodesh Kodashim, it was the Sanhedrin. What was the Sanhedrin doing a large part of the time? They were dealing with business dealings, people at Shilas that came forward. Why was that such an important part that it literally sat right next to, because you can't have one without the other. You can't have a society that doesn't treat people with honesty and doesn't treat people with integrity and doesn't take care of other people's money the same way they take care of their own. You can't have a society like that and still expect to build a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, before we get to Truman, to Tzav, Avayaka, Pekudei, you have Parshas Mishpatim. And at the end of the process, you have Eila Pekudei, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make that this, what makes sure that this was built properly. And only when it's built properly, then will he come, then will Hashem come, and you'll have Hashras Hashchina. That's the Beis HaLevi, I think a very powerful idea. Idea number two comes from a Sefer Be'er Ro'i. I'm not sure who is the author of that, but I'm sure someone will let me know. He writes the following. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes that Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, that the word Eile is a reference to another Eile, and that is what we read about in Parshas Kisisa, of Eile Elokecha, or Elohecha, Yisrael. That at the Chet Egel, they looked at the eagle and said, Eile, this is the God of the Jewish people. And as a tikkun for that, to repair the sin of the Chet Egel, we have Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. We have the word Eile by the Chet Egel. We have the word Eile by the Mishkan. That teaches us the Mishkan is repairing the sin of the Chet Egel. Now I ask you the following question. That's very nice. That's very lovely. But what's the deeper significance of that? Can't just be that the word Eile is there, the word Eile is here, and therefore it must be that there's a connection. There obviously has to be a deeper connection there. In fact, he quotes here from the Or HaChaim that the Or HaChaim says that the word Eile is posel es harishonim. That the word Eile is like an exclusionary word. It's Eile to the exclusion of something else you might have thought. So what else would I have thought? In other words, I know Chet HaEgel happened. What were the other options to repair for the sin of the golden calf than the Mishkan? Why do I need the word Eile to come along and to exclude anything else I might have thought? That's the question of the Or HaChaim. That's the question of the Sefer Be'er Ro'i. What is this connection between the Eile of Chet HaEgel and the Eile of our Parsha of Eile Pekudei HaMishkan? Says the Sefer Be'er Ro'i something very beautiful. He writes on the next page. He says, you know, sometimes people make up their own rules, right? People think that certain things work when they really don't. So for example, I might make a mistake and I might, let's say I'll embarrass myself. Let's say I do something wrong in the house and it never happens in our house where my wife never gets upset at me. But let's say my wife gets upset at me about something and I bring her, I'm decide, you know what? I'm going to make it all right. I'm going to repair the relationship. I'm going to make sure she forgives me. And so I say, you know, what's really going to make my wife love me again? And so I go to the store, and some people will get this reference, and I get a bowling ball. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring a bowl. And remember that Simpsons episode Jason remembers, right? Where Homer for Marge's birthday brings Marge a bowling ball, and it's, right? So I bring my wife a bowling ball because I like to bowl. And this is how my wife's going to forgive me. So I'm going to bring the bowling ball to the house. And I'm going to say, honey, I'm so sorry. I upset you the other day. I got you a present. And I'm going to take out a big box. And she's going to get tears in her eyes. She's going to say, Phil, it's so beautiful. I forgive you. I'm sure there's a diamond necklace in there or something like that. And she opens it up. And what's there? A bowling ball. Or in my case, it'll probably be running sneakers or something like that, right? And she looks at me and she says, you're out of your mind. Right? If that's all what she said, right? You're out of your mind. Why would you think that this is going to make me forgive you? I'm going to say, well, this is what I think would make you happy. She's going to say, no, that's what makes you happy. That's not what I need. You know what I want. I want X and Y and Z, right? We all know what our wives need when they get upset at us. So why'd you go outside the formula? That's what a fictitious conversation in my house might look like. Says the Be'er Ro'i, that's exactly what happens in the Parsha. Here you have the Jewish people. And if you use the analogy of the marriage, Here you have the Jewish people, they commit a massive incident of infidelity. They sin. They commit the sin at the Chet Egel. Now they come and they have to repair the relationship. Comes along the Be'er Ro'i and says, Eile is an exclusionary term. You might think you have all the answers for how you're going to get Hashem to forgive you. Right? For some people, it's going up to the Himalayas. For some people, it's, you know, meditating on a mountaintop. For some people, it's trudging through, you know, India or Thailand. Everyone's got their thing. But comes along the Be'er Ro'i and says, no. The answer is Eile, Pekudei HaMishkan. The Torah itself gave us the antidote. The Torah itself gave us the response for what we should do for when we sin. He writes on page number 3, Ve'atikun l'chet zeh, humashim evinim she'ein lem shum mimutza. There's no other alternative. In other words, there's no bowling ball, there's no running sneakers, there's none of that. Ve'rak hashras hashchina v'sochenu zeh mekaymenu. We have to use the Torah's prescribed formula for how it is that Hashem wants us to have a relationship with Him. Umishum hachi kishamra Torah eile pekudei HaMishkan. Therefore, when the Torah comes along with that same word eile, nikva b'leiv kol echad hamisnadev l'mishkan, sherak kan yehei hitkashrutenu be'akadosh baruch hu. It's only through this that we are going to achieve the connection to Hashem. And therefore, he says, v'lashon eile nistalku kol machshavos chutz shel pegam ha'egel. It's to the exclusion of everything else you might have thought. You might think you can bring Hashem the bowling ball. You might think you can bring Hashem the running sneakers. You might think that it's the meditate. No. The Torah gives us the formula. The Torah gives us the mechanism through which Hashem wants us to achieve connection to Him. And sometimes we, because we think we know better, or because of our Western sensitivities, or because we've been in, right, for whatever reason, we think we have better answers than the one that the Torah prescribes. Comes along the Torah and says, no, you want to know what the response to Eile Elohecha Yisrael is? Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. The Torah itself gives us the formula for how it is that we can achieve that connection to Hashem. It's not by looking elsewhere. It's not by bowling balls and running sneakers, if you get my analogy. But it's by Torah. It's about the Mishkan. It's about Korbanos. It's about the formula that the Torah itself brings. And the reason why I love this idea is because I think it recalibrates us. You know, people, what does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem? The Torah itself gives it to us. Now, obviously, there's a lot of color in that picture. Torah is not monolithic. It's not this or bust, right? Each one of us is different. Hashem is multidimensional. And so therefore, our ability to connect to Hashem is also a representative of our own personal creativity and our own personal talents and skill sets. But within that color, the Torah comes along and says, this is the prescription. This is the way you are going to develop a level of closeness with me. And it's going to come through Torah, and it's going to come through davening, and it's going to come through Gemilas Chesed, it's going to come through Tzedakah, it's going to come through all the things that I gave you. But it's those to the exclusion of others. Don't think you're going to find it elsewhere. Don't think you're going to bring me the bowling ball. Don't think you're going to bring me the running sneakers. And don't think you're going to bring me the REI gift card or anything that I might want that my wife doesn't care about. Right? Really, what is it? It's what she wants. It's what's meaningful to her. It's what she tells me she wants. And that's what Hashem is saying to us as well. Hashem says, don't look outside. The answer is in the Torah. Ve'afachbo, ve'afachbo, kulabo. It's all in the Torah. The prescription for how it is that we develop that relationship with Hashem. So idea number one that we saw, just because I always like to review, comes from the Beis HaLevi, Parshas Truma, that the only way to connect with Hashem is first when we properly connect with each other. We can't just work on a relationship with Hashem. We also have to work on our relationship with each other. We have to be careful about the way we interact with each other in a business setting, in an office, the way we're conducting a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem. Are we trying to, in every business deal, squeeze the other guy and make sure we break him to squeeze out every penny? Or we realize that with a yarmulke on our head and tzitzis on our body, we're representative of Hashem. And sometimes it's okay to have a win-win. Not everything has to be a zero-sum game. Right? So we have to worry about the way we treat each other. The Be'er Ro'i, what's the Eile in the Eile? What is the connection of the Eile of the Chet HaEgel in the Eile of Parshas Pekudei? The answer is Hashem saying that I'm giving you the answer. I'm giving you the formula. It's Eile. It's Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. You don't have to look outside. That's what the Or HaChaim said. That Eile Posel Asa Rishonim. It's an exclusionary word. It's this to the exclusion of all else. It's the diamond necklace to the exclusion of the bowling ball and the running sneakers. So it's Torah to the exclusion of anything else that you and I might think of. Hashem says, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the formula. I'm giving you the playbook. I'm giving you the manual. I'm telling you exactly what I need to repair and to heal this relationship. You don't have to look elsewhere. It's all in the Torah. And while obviously there's a lot of diversity in how each one of us can express that, ultimately it's about what Hashem wants, not about what we think is best for Hashem. That is idea number two. Idea number three comes from Rav Shalom Reuven Feinstein. And I want to thank the person who gifted me this set of Sfarim that sits in my office. And he writes a very beautiful idea. He writes in a number of places. I combined from Parshas Vayakel and Parshas Bekudei. He had a good... did I copy it properly? Yeah. He has a lot of fun calculating the modern day value of the Mishkan. So if you look on page number 4, he writes the following. This is on Parshas Vayakel. We're going to get to Bekudei in a second. We're on his thing. It's 452. He says, if the materials donated for the Mishkan, we find wool, dyed from different expensive and beautiful dyes, oils, different kinds of rare spices, and a great deal of gold. Klal Yisrael were at the time, they were given this mitzvah to build the Mishkan in the middle of the desert with no natural resources, no supply lines available to them. And so he goes through all of them. He says at the bottom of 453, the bottom right-hand side, he says, in any case, if we calculate the sum of the donations, the average amount of money that any member of Klal Yisrael likely brought to the Mishkan was 30 shkalim. Does anyone want to Google what the value of a shekel is now? Right, 30 shkalim. Now, we know, he writes, that the Nesiim were criticized. Why were the Nesiim criticized? Because what did they do? They said, right, they came to them for the donation, and they said, I'm not going to give you a donation. What I'll do is at the end, I'll give you a check for whatever it is that's left over. And of course, what happens at the end? It was too much, and they didn't get the chance to give, and so they're criticized for it. So what do the Nesiim do? Turn the page to page number 5. So the Nesiim, because they waited too long, right? This means that when they were wrong for waiting until the end and only donating the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Meluim, as well as the rare spices and the menorah's oil. This was perhaps millions of shkalim worth of items that they gave. This was certainly more than any other person donated. How could they be chastised for such a beautiful and complete nedava? He asks the following question. If the average Jew gave 30 shekel, and they're celebrated, nediv lev, they're amazing, yeshikoach, we're going to honor you at the shul dinner. And then you have these Nesiim who come along, and they give what he calculates as millions of dollars worth of shkalim. And what do they get? Criticism. Criticism. So how is that fair, he says? Why is it that the average guy who gives 30 shekel gets a mishaberach, and gets a yeshikoach, and gets mafta yona, and the Nesiim that give millions of dollars, they get criticized that they didn't give earlier? So what is it that's going on? So in Parshas Vayakel, he gives one answer. There he writes the following on page number 5. He says, the reason was because, despite the value of their gift, the Nesiim missed the opportunity to become Nedivei Lev. The way the Nesiim approached the mitzvah of donating for the building of the Mishkan was that they came to the craftsman and said, whatever you're lacking, come to us and we'll supply it. They offer the equivalent of a blank check, but by doing it this way, they open up the possibility of excluding themselves from being involved in this mishkan, in the mitzvah. And so therefore, it was. The Nesiim really never got a part of the building, the Mishkan. They only managed to get a part of the big day kahuna. The Nediv Lev will make sure he is always involved. He comes one day and gives. Then he says, if you need anything more, I will be back. I will supply whatever it is you need. So there's a criticism, he writes, that even though the Nesiim ended up giving a lot more money, but because they waited and because they, right, so they get criticized. Whereas everyone else that shows up with that dollar bill every single day, they are in the Nediv Lev, they get Mafter Yonah. Listen to what he says in Parshas Bekudei. I found this so fascinating. Same question. And he writes the following. This is on the back page of your packet. First of all, for any mathematicians here, you'll get a geschmack over his calculations here. He literally calculates the equivalence of shkalim per each vessel in the Mishkan. And he writes on the bottom, 464, left-hand side, he says, now that we have a picture of the sums of gold and silver that were donated, let's discuss all the other, less expensive. And he goes through all of it. This 25 shekel, this 100 shekel, this 1,000 shekel. He goes through all of it. And then he says the following, where I have my underline. Now that we see the calculations in front of us, it makes the earlier point even stronger. These people who gave their 25 to 35 to 30 shkalim are called Nadiv Lev, while the Nasiim, who gave all of the precious stones, worth perhaps millions of shekels, were not afforded this title. And our question is, why? And he answers it. He says, all because of the manner in which they went about giving it. Their nedava may have been thousands and thousands of times greater than anyone else's, but this wasn't enough to include them in the category of Nidvei Lev of the Mishkan. And so says R' Feinstein, it doesn't matter the size of the gift. Now, obviously, we at Boker Ton Synagogue will accept any size of gift. You can see me afterwards. But he says more important to the size of the gift is the way that you give the gift. The guy who shows up, the guy who raises his hand, the guy who might not have the, you know, millions of dollars, but he comes forward and he says, you know what? I want to be counted. I want to show up. I want to help. I want to support. That guy is the Nadiv Lev. The guy who says, oh, I don't, criticizing and scoffing and cynic, and then at the end throws the check, he may have given 10 times the amount, 20 times the amount, 30 times the amount. But says R' Feinstein, even though you may have given thousands and thousands of dollars more, it's not just about what you give, but it's about how you give it. This doesn't just apply to the Mishkan. We have halachas explicitly. The Rambam talks about this explicitly when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is not just about what you give. Tzedakah is about how you give. If a guy comes to your door on a Sunday afternoon in the beating hot sun of Florida, do you throw him a check and say, don't let the door hit you on the way out? Do you offer him some water? Do you offer him some orange juice? Do you ask him about his travels? Do you treat him with respect? Do you treat him with dignity? I'll tell you the biggest lesson I have. I'm not going to say the name because I don't have permission, but it's a Rebbe of mine that I was walking to shul one morning, and there were about six or seven people outside collecting. Now, they're the same six or seven people that had been there the last Sunday and the Sunday before. So, and we were in a rush, a little late. And so I was running in, and, well, I don't carry a wallet. That's the convenient part of it. But I didn't even have, even if I did, I was running a little late. Rebbe stopped and gave a dollar bill to each person, gave a smile, and treated them with dignity and respect. And I, to this day, I remember because it made such an impact on me. That even though we were running, it comes back to our first idea. That even though we were running late for Minyan, and even though, right, there was a million reasons to run past those people. But it's not just about what you, and I'm sure the dollar bill ain't putting such a big dent in paying rent or paying whatever medical bills these people needed. It's not just about what you give. It's about how you give it. Do you give it with a smile? Do you give it with warmth? I want you to know, since that moment, every time I walk by, I try, every time I walk by someone collecting at the shul, I always apologize, because the truth is I have sensory issues, I can't carry wallets on me, I almost never have money on me, but I try my hardest now to always stop, to wish them a good morning, to wish them a good day, to apologize that I don't have any tzedakah on me now, but to wish them much success. And I want you to know, I don't know the difference it makes to them. Maybe they notice, maybe they don't notice, but I'll tell you, it makes a big difference to me. Makes a difference on how I feel in interacting with people, how I relate to tzedakah, how I relate to people in need, how I relate to people who are collecting. They're not just, you know, cash machines. That there's a person behind it. That there's a reason why they're standing outside our shul on a Sunday morning in the blazing hot sun. There's a reason that they're going through that undignified experience. They obviously need it. And even if I can't help them, and even if I can only give them a dollar, which, as I said, I ain't putting a dent in it. But there's something else you can give everybody. And that's just not what you give, but it's the way that you give it. Says R' Feinstein, that's the difference. That everybody else who gave the 30 shekel, it's not a lot. That's a dollar here, a dollar there. That's not putting a dent in the Mishkan. But they're called the Nidvei Lev. The Torah goes out of its way to say that they are generous people. And yet the guys who gave millions and millions of dollars, not only does the Torah not say anything positive about them, what does it do? Criticizes them. Because it's not just about what you give, but it's about how you give it. That applies to institutions, that applies to people, that applies to not just the way person we're interacting with, but how we want ourselves to be. The type of person we want ourselves to become, and it very much connects with the first idea that we saw tonight, that Judaism isn't just about our relationship with Hashem. It is, but the way that we get there is by reinforcing the way that we treat each other. And so we saw three ideas in 30 minutes tonight. Again, I want to thank Jonah for sponsoring tonight's shiur. in memory of his father for his yurtzeit, neshama should have an aliyah. Please continue to make l'chaims and teach cholent and to make mizonos. But we saw idea number one from the Beis Halevi. Why does mishpatim come before all the parshios of the Mishkan? Because you can't have a Mishkan unless we first treat each other with honesty and integrity. And that's why the end of the process also, it's Eila Pekudei Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back and he makes sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, that the money was spent properly, because only when we treat each other properly does Hashem want to dwell amongst us. Idea number two is the Be'eroi. The Eila Pekudei Mishkan, the word Eila, connects itself back to the Chet Egel of Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Says the Or HaChaim, Eila is an exclusionary word. It's to exclude something else. And we wonder, what else is it excluding? Hashem says, I'm giving you the formula. I'm telling you what I want. I'm giving you the playbook. You don't have to look all over for ideas and suggestions and self-help books for how it is that you're going to connect. No, no, no. The formula is in the Torah. And I'm giving you a lot of leeway within that. But I'm telling you exactly what I need and how exactly you're going to connect to me. So it's Eila, it's this, to the exclusion of all others. And the last idea that we saw, the beautiful idea from Rav Feinstein, about the notion of the nidvei lev. Why is it that those who gave little are given such accolades, and those who gave a lot are criticized? Because as we said, it's not just about what you give, but it's about how you give. And that's a reflection of you as a person. Giving tzedakah, I remember I was talking to a relative of mine who gives a lot of tzedakah. And I once asked him, I said, you know, doesn't it bother you? All day, people come to your door, your office, they're always asking for tzedakah. And the truth is, you don't know. Are they using it properly? You're not using it properly. You're not going to spend all your entire life, you know, exploring each one of these stories. He said, listen, Phil. He says, I fundamentally believe, and it's complicated sugya, but I think there's wisdom in what he's saying. He says, I fundamentally believe that my job is to give tzedakah. Guy comes to my door, a guy is putting himself through that experience of asking for money. He says, my job from Hashem is to give the money. The way the person handles that, that's between him and Hashem. If he wants to misuse it, that's a cheshbon that he's going to have for Hashem. He said, but I'm not just giving the tzedakah for him. I'm giving the tzedakah for me also, because it's a reflection of who I am as a person and my values and my priorities and the way my children see me and the way I interact with my community around me. So it's a reminder that it's not just about what you give, but it's about how you give it. How you giving it doesn't just impact the other person, but it impacts and is a reflection of yourself as well. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.